CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The south of France, Occitane, paradise on continental Europe. Simon Constable reporting for Forbes, Barron's, Wall Street Journal, and other distinguished publications. In search of the recession. The recession guaranteed the last 6 months was imminent, coming any moment now here in the United States. Not yet. Simon, a very good day to you in France. Is there an explanation on Wall Street, where everybody is paid a great deal of money to know the future, where the recession is and when it's arriving? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. So far, no explanation for this other than causing or wanting to cause fear in the general population. I've been studying whether there's a recession, whether there's one imminent, for a long time now. In fact, way back before 6 months to last June, which is almost a year away, I can hardly believe it. I've seen no sign of a real recession. We've had a very, very, very shallow one last year that was barely noticeable. But I look and I look and I look, and I'm really wanting someone, at least one person on Wall Street, to say, hey, I was wrong. There was not a recession, and there is not one going to happen now. Yet it isn't here. We have low unemployment rates. We have inflation that's dipping down every month, or seemingly every month. New claims for unemployment insurance remain relatively low by historical standards. This is all good stuff. None of it says imminent recession. One area, maybe the housing market isn't doing that well, but that's just one area. Everywhere else seems to be okay.
We go to commodity prices because that is a bellwether. In addition, it can be a forecast. And I note, this is the Wall Street Journal reporting, that copper prices have backed off over these last months. That usually means China, but China means the rest of us. What about copper? Are you watching it, Simon?
I'm watching copper, and yes, it has been coming down quite dramatically. And part of that's got to be we're seeing increased production in that. When you have high prices, companies have an incentive to say, okay, well, we'll dig for more of that metal. And so they dig it, and then it gets produced, and the extra production pushes the prices down. Then they produce less, and the prices go up. It sort of swings backwards and forwards, and that is completely normal. I am not surprised to see it come down. It did go to extremely high levels during the outbreak of the war in Ukraine. Now it's sort of more normalized. I think that's probably a very good thing. We're seeing that with a lot of other commodities too. And I keep going back to this maxim: the cure for high prices is high prices. And high prices are really part of inflation. So the fact that they're coming down means that inflation's dissipating. Much as the Federal Reserve doesn't want us to think so. Sorry, John.
Let's go to energy then. In Europe, I know the energy prices here are surprisingly sticky high. I've seen even in New England, the price is not backing off and approaching $4 again, $3.79 a gallon here in Connecticut. What do you see? The last time we checked on energy in France, it was backing off.
Indeed it is. It's backing off in a way that's making me smile. So, as I said last week, the price for a liter of diesel, which is one quarter of a gallon basically, was €1.68, which was down from around $2 a few weeks ago. That's very pleasing, given in this area most people drive diesel vehicles. It's a farming area, so that's very, very good. We're seeing the electricity prices, which is basically the natural gas price, less than one-tenth of what it was last August, when it went up to stratospheric levels. So this is all very good. And natural gas in Europe is how electricity gets priced. So we're very happy there. We're seeing, you know, US natural gas very low at the moment, which means that your summer air conditioning bills should be fairly low. And hopefully your winter heating bills should be fairly low as well, if you use electric heating. All this is very, very good. I'm sorry to hear that you are seeing $4 gasoline.
That's $4, not so good. Just approaching $4. It's gone
approaching $4. That may be to do with the switchover between winter gasoline formulation and summer gasoline formulation when they switch the refineries over, and there's a refinery shortage, so you get a bit more of a lift in prices during that, usually a two-week period.
We also have all the states have their own tax regimens, so that adds to the price of gasoline bouncing around. Now we come to food inflation. Here, yes, food inflation. The statement is made, you can't get out of the supermarket without spending $150. In London, the food inflation is said to have backed off from, I think, 15.7 to 15.4. Some back off. The London story is typical of the U.S. as well. Food is extremely expensive. I'm presuming it's the same in France.
It is the same in France. Food is getting more expensive, and it's been notable. I think I told you it had been flat for a while, and then it notched up and is kept notching up a little by little. The real news coming out of London, I think, is what Rishi Sunak is trying to do. He's the Prime Minister of the UK, and he's introducing what he says is not going to be price controls, but it's called price caps. But basically, it's the same thing. And he's strong-arming or jawboning, whatever you want to call it, supermarket chiefs to put caps on very basic food so poor people don't have a problem buying bread and milk and presumably other very basic stuff. This is a policy that has never worked in the history of mankind, and it certainly never worked post-war in Britain, and it was used a lot after World War II, right through to when Margaret Thatcher came to office in 1979.
The puzzle then, Simon, I ask you to interpret the Tories who have been in power for 13 years. Are they unfamiliar with the 1970s? We sometimes joke about it because it was the era of disco, and that has unhappy references. But it was also the time of stagflation. Are the Tories aware that what doesn't work is that if you cap prices, you create a black market? You also damage growth so that you get inflation without growth. There's no payoff, and the country is paralyzed. Certainly, they know this in London. Why are they teasing price controls? Do we understand them?
We don't understand them. I understand the sentiment of Rishi Sunak and the Conservative government wanting to solve the problem of food inflation, which is it's at the, you know, the very bottom of your Maslow hierarchy of needs, food and shelter. It's there, safety, being able to eat every day, something I know that everyone I know, in fact, likes to eat every day, and it's a good thing. So the sentiment's good. Maybe he doesn't understand. Maybe it's just desperation that they don't know what else to do. The Bank of England isn't crushing food inflation. They're thinking, okay, what can we do? We'll jawbone people. I think it's a sign of panic, and that is not a good thing for a prime minister to project. He or she should come up with something better than this. It's very bad.
We move from the food inflation that we see everywhere on the table back to the market. The Wall Street Journal for some days now has been reporting that this is a market driven entirely by quants. I think that means artificial intelligence or really smart algorithms, something like that. But it's a narrow advance, with most of the retail audience sitting on the sidelines. Who's wiser, Simon? These machines that are buying aggressively in a narrow field of tech, or the public sitting by watching the market sail higher?
Well, what the retail sector, which is individual investors, typically is doing is pretty much the same as what Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett are doing. They manage Berkshire Hathaway, which is huge, and they have more than $80 billion in cash waiting on the sideline. Now, those are two very smart gentlemen who have done very well off investing. If they're staying on the sidelines, it would seem to be a smart move. However, they have even more than that invested. And the question is, what are the retail investors doing? And then we will know if they're being smart. Are they mainly invested with a little bit on the side, or pretty much wholly not invested? I would suggest that we will probably see Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett start to put that money to work before long, because it becomes annoying to investors in Berkshire Hathaway that they have so much cash.
We're back to the beginning. Where is the recession? Not until there isn't a recession can we begin to recover. that is the best moment to be in the market, a recovery from a recession. If there's no recession, we're going to be drifting in this growth mode with high employment numbers, with food inflation, and now and again, energy will spike. It's not a bad fate, but it's not what we expected 6 months ago, or as Simon says, a year ago. Simon Constable in Occitane, in Paradise, in the south of France.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.